Parsha begins, Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim, Lefonov El Esav Ochiv, Atzor Seir, Sedei Adoim. Yaakov sends Malochim to Esav, the Pesukim tell us, he tells him to command, the Malochim tell Esav, Im Lovon Gaiti Veicharat Ota. Rashi says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim, Malochim Mamish. Actual Malochim. The question is, first of all, how does Rashi know Malochim Amish? Secondly, why did Yaakov need to send actual Malochim? Angels. Why couldn't he just send messengers? The Malochim weren't going to fight Esau. They were just going to give a message. Why did he need to send Malochim, angels? The Marik says, at the end of last week's parasha, Parashas Vayetze, it says, Vayashkim Lovan Baboike, Vayinashek Lovonov, Lovnoisa Vayborachas, and Lovan sends away his family, lets them go actually, but at that point he's sending them away. Vayelech, Vayashav Lovan Umkaimoi, and the Pasuk tells us, Vayakov Holoch Ladarke, Vayivku Uvoi Malachi Elekim. They were Malachi Elekim, the Pasuk says explicitly, they were not Malachim. Malachim again could be either messengers. Rashi is coming to tell us that when it says Malachim in our pasuk, it means Malachim Amish, angels. Malachim can mean also messengers. But right before, two psukim before, the pasuk says, Ayifku boy Malachi Elikim. They were Malachi Elikim, angels, and their Rebbeinu Shel Olam met Yaakov. So Marik says that we see from there that these Malachim, it's a continuation, and the Malachim that met Yaakov are the ones that Yaakov sent. These Machmoshe says that there are two different types of malochim, angels, two different types. There's one type that is created by the Torah and mitzvahs a person does. A person learns Torah, he creates a malach. A person does mitzvahs, he creates a malach. That's one type. And then there's a second type of malach. The second type of malach is a special Matana from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that's created in Shemayim, coming from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, not coming through anything from anything down in this world, but rather that originates in Shemayim from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Before Parshas Vayivku Boy Malachi Elikim, Yaakov Holoch Ladarka, Yaakov got on a certain level, and these special Malachi Elikim, not ones that he himself created, but rather the special Malachi Elikim came to greet Yaakov. Yisan Hoshe quotes from the Magid that what's the difference between the two? Aside from the fact where they originate, but what's the difference? So he says that a person who learns Torah and does mitzvahs, those Malachim that he creates stays with him always. He always has them with him. However, the ones that originate from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, those come at certain times. They come, they go, but they don't stay always. So he says, Zakti Yisrach Moshe, the Pasuk before, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, that last Pasuk in last week's parasha says, Vayoyime Yaakov kashayro machane elikim ze, Vayikyo shem hamokim ahu machanoyim. Two camps. What were the two? So the Yismach Moshe, the pasuk right before, is the one we said that Yifku Voi Malachi Elikim. It was Machanoyim. There were two encampments. There was the Malachim that Yaakov himself created. That's one. And the second camp was the one that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said. Now he has two. Until then, Yaakov had one camp. Those were from the Malachim that he himself created with his Torah mitzvahs. Now the Rebbeinu Shel Olam sent the other types of Malachim. He has an encampment. He has two now. The world stands on Torah. The Nachal Kidumim says that when it says in the pasuk Hatzileni no miyad, when Yaakov davens to Rebbeinu Shel Olam in pasuk Yudbeis that he should be saved from Esav, the gematria of the last letters of the three words Yud, Aleph, and Dalet is equivalent to 15. Which is the same gematria as the 15 years that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov lived at the same time. And for those 15 years, they learn Torah 15 hours a day, and that is the kiyum of the world through that 15 years. The Divrei David asks, it says in the Pasuk, Im lo vangarti ve'echa arata.
Going back to before, how come Yaakov had the same malacha mamash?
But not, we didn't get to it yet. We're going to get to it. We're working our way through it. We're giving you all the Maram Kaimis so you'll be able to understand what I'm going to try to say. I'm building it up. Im lo vangarti ve'echa arata. Everybody knows the famous Rashi, Davacher, Garti Bigamarchi, Tayag, Koloima, Mlovan, Harosha, Garti, Vitayag, Mitzvah, Shamarti. Yaakov Avinu sent the message to Lovan, I was Mikhaim, all 613 mitzvahs. In fact, Divrei David, he certainly didn't. There's many mitzvahs he didn't, he was not Mikhaim. Aside from the famous ones of Kibbut Av'aim that he didn't do, and he wasn't living in Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't. No per individual can actually do mimikayim all 613 mitzvahs. So there are some mitzvahs that are explicitly for kehanim. There are some that are not for kehanim. There are some for levim. There are some that it's not possible for one individual to mimikayim all 613 mitzvahs. So how can we mimikayim all 613 mitzvahs? He says the famous gemara in Menachos and Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis that says. If someone is Isaac, if he toils, if he learns the Torah, he learns about the Karbonis, it's as if he's not the Karbonis. So how is Yaakov Mikhaim the Tayag Mitzvahs? What was he telling Lavan? He didn't do all the Mitzvahs, he didn't have the opportunity to do all the 613 Mitzvahs. He would have, he would have done all of them if the opportunity would have come his way, he wanted to and would have, but he did not have the opportunity. And therefore, by learning Torah, he's Mekayim all 613 mitzvahs. Very interesting Nefesh HaChaim. Chaim Belozhin, in the Shar Dalad Lamed, he says, HaMitzvahs b'mekor shiroshan k'shuais utluyus besidur pirkei ha-merkavar lamas b'mekor shiroshan shalayin shalatayra ha-kedusha. He says that there's a light in this world. It says in Mishlei, Kapitel Vav, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Ki ner mitzvah v'teru er. Ner mitzvah v'teru er. He says, what's the difference between a ner and er? Ner is equal to mitzvah. The Pasuk says, ner mitzvah v'teru er. What's the difference between ner and er? He says, ner is a candle. A lamp, a candle. Depending on how big the lamp is, how big the candle is, it can burn for half an hour, 5 hours, 10 hours, 20 hours. It has a certain amount of time burned, and then it's going to use up all of its substance, whatever it is, and it's not going to burn anymore. He says, "Ur is a light." He's talking about the ur of the bria, the ur that goes on forever. Chaim Volozhin says, when someone does a mitzvah, he gets a light. He creates a near mitzvah. He creates a light in this world. He doesn't say about malachim, but perhaps it's that same yisayit of the malachim that the Yisach Moshe spoke about, that certain malachim, they stick around, and some of them go away. When someone does a mitzvah, it's temporary, he has this ur. It's from the ner. But someone who learns Torah, it's a continuous ur. It goes on, la'olam va'ad, it's always with him. He says that Yaakov tells Esav im Lavan garti. Won't care that he lived with Lavan. Chafetz Chaim says an interesting knetch. Yaakov felt bad. He didn't learn. Yaakov is an anav, but he said in a nivusig way that he didn't learn from Lavan. He said it in a way that he felt bad about it. Chafetz Chaim says, what does it mean he felt bad that he didn't learn from Lavan? So Chafetz Chaim says that he didn't learn, he saw Lavan, he was so into his ramois when he tricked people and his averis. He was into it, he got a geschmack from it. He says, Yaakov didn't take that same geschmack and use it for Torah. He felt he wasn't on that level. Remember many years ago, there was a guy, there was a goy, a real goy, his name was Peter. And it was a Monday morning, and he's sitting there on the phone, and there's tears in his eyes, and he's literally crying. I hear him on the phone, and he's sitting there saying, I can't believe it. He let me down. I think he said Eli. Eli let me down. I don't know if I'll ever be able to get over it. I don't know if I'll ever be able to get into my good graces. He was so... I realized what it was all about. It was some football game from the day before, and apparently the guy who throws the ball, the quarterback, lost the game for them, and he was crying over it. It bothered him so much. He just couldn't believe it. He cared so much. When someone makes a siyum, make a siyum on the Gemara, they say, Anu amelim v'heim amelim. Anu amelim kavon schar, v'heim amelim v'einim kavon schar. Anu rotzim v'heim rotzim. Ever think, who cares? I'm making a siyum, I'm coming here tonight, I'm making a siyum on Torah. Why do I discuss what they're doing? Anu amelim v'heim amelim. Who cares about them? Anu amelim kavon schar. Anu rotzim v'heim rotzim. Why do we discuss them? Efshe the Parshat Pshat is that there's something to learn from the Goyim too. How they do their things. When they sit there, you can see they wait online for 5 nights, they camp outside to get baseball games for the World Series. They toil for it, they're ready to do anything for it. There's something to learn from them. You have to be careful. You have to know, they're doing it for Narish guys, for Shtusim. We have to do it for the Torah. But we have to learn that for the Torah. Perhaps that's why Rashi tells us, what did he send to Lavan? He sent to all his malachim, the ones that are with him, the mitzvahs, the Torah and the mitzvahs that he did. He's telling Lavan, you think that you have a chance to conquer me. You're coming here and you're going to fight me. And you know, you think, yeah, I would buy Lavan for many years. I don't know what Torah is anymore. I'm not going to have the Koyach HaTorah to protect me. He sent maybe thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands, all the Torah and the mitzvahs, every word of Torah and all the mitzvahs Yaakov did. He sent all these malachim to Esav. And they all show up at Esav's doorstep and they said, Esav, Hezach too, listen up. I was by Lavan, but look what I've accomplished. Look at all these malachim that are coming to greet you. Don't think you're going to come and be Manaseyach over me. If I were you, we'd basically trying to tell him, go home, because I still have the Koyach HaTorah. And that's how Rashi tells us, Malachim Mamish. They were actual Malachim, the one, he wasn't sending just a message. He was sending a message with a point, with proof of that Yitzhak was Mekayim the whole Torah, even when he was by Lavan. Yaakov davens to the Rebbeinu Shem to be saved from Esav. The Pasuk says, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Katointi Nikola Chasodim, Umikola Eves Asher Sises Avdecha, Kiva Makti Evarti Esajayde, and Ezeva Ata Yisil Shnei Machanes. Yaakov Davin Sri Rebbeinu Shalom, he's scared. Rashi says, Nismaitu Zuchuyoisa Aidea Chasodim, Vo Eves Asher Sisi Imi, Lakach Ani Yore. Shema Meshtachtani Nislachlachti Bechet Vigimli Laham Sabi Adesav. Even though Rebbeinu Shalom told Yaakov, don't worry, he says, perhaps I used up all my chusim. The Rebbeinu Shalom showed him tremendous chesed, and he used up all his chusim already. And now that he had no chusim left, Esav is going to come and conquer him, kill him. Binyahu's Asakasha. Binyahu. Binyahu was written by the Ben Ishchai. Says, the famous word, I've heard this numerous times from numerous different sources, this pshat, and the Binyahu has a kash on this pshat. Everyone says, they're supposed to have, it's the Mura says, machloikis, one sheet says you're not supposed to have any gaiva, but according to one sheet, you're supposed to have an eighth of gaiva. A Talmud Chacham, not anybody, but a Talmud Chacham is supposed to have an eighth of an eighth. So again, what do they say, pshat is? If you count out the parashiyas from the beginning, is the eighth parasha. And this pasuk, is the eighth pasuk. So from here you learn that an eighth of an eighth a person should have of gaiva. But it doesn't say over here that he should have gaiva. He says over here anivas, punk faket. Katointi, where do you see that he had gaiva here? Where do you see the eighth of an eighth? He said, Moedi. He says a lashon of katointi, as in a lashon of a cotton. I'm a small child. What's the pshat? A person should think of himself like a katan. Right now, katan is a nothing. He's a child. He's not the president of the United States. He's not a master Talmud Chacham. He's a katan. He's a child. But there's potential. A katan can grow up to be the Gadol Hador. He can grow up to be someone very important. He has potential. That potential is there. Zokta ben Yo, the guy that Yaakov is saying is katanti mikol hachasadim. I realize that where I am, I'm nothing now. But he still has shtickel gaiva, a little gaiva to say, but I have potential. I can accomplish something in this world. If someone doesn't have that, he says, I can't accomplish. I can't become a Talmud Chacham. I can't dive into the Rebbeinu Shalom. Why should the Rebbeinu Shalom listen to me? Who am I? I'm a nobody. You have to have a little gaiva to say, I'm going to go and I'm going to dive into the Rebbeinu Shalom and Hashem listen to me. I'm a something. But it has to be done with mostly anivas and just a little bit, an eighth of gaiva. And that's how you learn it out from this pasuk. Heard from Rashi David Meishlita, he quoted a Zohar, that said that the tefillah of Yaakov was tremendous ahov to the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom was very taken in with the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu. He loved Yaakov Avinu's tefillah. Yaakov Avinu was the bechir ha'avos, he was the choice of the avos, and the Rebbeinu Shalom loved his tefillah. How did he daven? Yaakov davened in a lashon of Chanan. Like we have by Moshe Rabbeinu, when he davened to the Rebbeinu Shalom, Ve'es Chanan El Hashem, there's different, there's 10 lashonos of tefillah. One of the lashonos is by Chinam, which is, means it's chen, which is free. Which means Yaakov wasn't saying, Rebbeinu Shalom, please save me, because I had schosim and I was a big tzaddik and I learned Torah the whole day. That's not why you should save me. Save me for no reason. I'm asking a favor, Rebbeinu Shalom, please save me. And that is the most chashiv tefillah by Rebbeinu Shalom than anything else. To ask, because the sort of kaviyachal Rebbeinu Shalom owes. Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't owe anybody anything. But the Rebbeinu Shalom created a bria in a way that he gives schar for certain things. So a person can daven saying is, with that schar, it should cancel out. Yaakov Avinu was saying is, the Rebbeinu Shalom owes me nothing, and nonetheless, the Rebbeinu Shalom should please help me. The Panim Yafis says, and it says, the Roshi Magia Shemaimah, when Yaakov was on the Sulam, and it says that Roshi Magia Shemaimah is talking about Yaakov Avinu's head. That it reached the Shemayim because of his midah of Katainti. Because of this midah, the greatest way to get all the way to the Shemayim is with the midah of Katainti. The midah of Anivas, that is the way to get to the Shemayim. There's something missing. The Chizkuni says that, it says in Kapitel Lamed Beis Pasuk Chavov, Vayar ki lo yochol aviga v'chafirecha v'teke kafirech Yaakov be'ofko imoy. Yaakov had a fight with the Malach of Esav, and the Malach of Esav injured him. In fact, the Chizkuni, how did it chance that the Malach could injure Yaakov? Yaakov was cool at Teirin. Yaakov, he was the Bechir HaOvis. How with what Koyach did he even harm him in any way? Chizkuni says is because Yaakov had a little bit of fear. Just a little bit. He's a pachad. Someone who's completely 100% with the Rebbeinu Shalom, and the Rebbeinu Shalom runs the entire world and everything, nonetheless, it's not shaykh to have fear of anything. What are you afraid of? The Rebbeinu Shalom, no one and nothing has shlita over you. So the fact that he had a little fear, so that's the reason why. Rav Ben Rambam asks, how is it possible? David HaMelech, it says, he went with a ruach gvur. He went, he wasn't scared of Melchama. We know Hanukkah is coming up. It says the amount of the Maccabees versus the Goyim, the Yevonim, it was like, depending on how you learn, if you won against 12,000, it wasn't to be believed, the few Yidden versus the Goyim. And they went with the Ruach Vur, they weren't scared. No, apparently there was no fear. They felt this, the Baruch Hashem was with them. So what's pshat? How could it be that Yaakov Avinu had even slight fear? He says, the pasuk says, "Vayivase Yaakov uvade." Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir HaOvos, was getting Klal Yisrael prepared for later generations. Vayivase Yaakov uvade. Yaakov was left alone. He didn't feel the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom Kaviyachol hid himself from Yaakov, and he didn't feel him even in the slightest bit. David the Rabbanu Shalom was there with him. He made sure David knew with him. The Maccabees, same thing. Over here, the Rabbanu Shalom was preparing, even in times of darkness for Klal Yisrael. And you can't see the Rabbanu Shalom. And there is no Ruach Gevurah. You still have to be in that second. You still have to believe in the Rabbanu Shalom. So Yaakov Avinu had the slightest fear on that because he did not feel the Rabbanu Shalom. It was something that in this Zuchus of Yaakov Avinu, still being in that Tzayach, still knowing that even when you don't see the Rabbanu Shalom, and you don't feel the Rabbanu Shalom, but the Rabbanu Shalom is still here. Im kol zeh. So, interesting little story. During the Civil War, General Grant went over to Lincoln right before they were about to go out to battle. And he says, I hope God is going to be with us in this battle. Sounds like a very nice thing to say. Lincoln answered him, I hope we're going to be on God's side. Grant said, good. He says, I hope God's going to be on our side. But Lincoln said better. We should be on God's side. Not that he should be on our side. If you keep the world in the proper, where we stand and where we are, the Rabbanu Shalom is there, okay? And we're nothing, and we're katayinti, and we're on, not, oh, I hope God's gonna be on my side. No, we're on, oh no, we have to work to be on the Rabbanu Shalom's side, not the Rabbanu Shalom should work to be on our side. So that is perhaps the eighth of the eighth that they hold, that according to one shita, that you're supposed to have an eighth of gaiva, that's supposed to be when you don't see the Rabbanu Shalom. For those times when you don't feel the Rabbanu Shalom, you don't see the Rabbanu Shalom, you have to have a little guy to say, I'm a something, I'm a somebody, I still have the koyach to dive into the Rabbanu Shalom, I still have the koyach to learn, I'm something, I'm somebody. Because if someone doesn't have that, then he just gets lost and he says, I don't see anything, I don't feel anything, that's not a time to be an anav, and he's not going to have anything. A little later in the parasha, Pasuk says, Vayoritz Esav, I'm sorry, one before, but who of our Lifneyim? Vayishtachu Arzah Sheva Pomim Ad Gishta Yadochiv. Yaakov Avinu bowed down to Esav 7 times. How in the world do we understand, Pshat in this, that Yaakov Avinu, the great Tzaddik, bowed down to Esav 7 times? Makes sense. State in the Kisei David that Mordechai was a Gilgal from Yaakov, and Haman was a Gilgal from Esav. He says is that Mordechai not bowing down to Haman was a tikkun, who corrected the, however you want to call the chet or keinachet of Yaakov bowing down to Esav. That's what the Kisei David says, but still doesn't make sense. You needed a tikkun. It doesn't make sense. Shaitan is there. Yaakov was bowing down to the Rabbanu Shalom. Yaakov, when he got to Esav, at that point, he already saw the Rabbanu Shalom. It was no longer Vayivosa Yaakov Levadis. And when Yaakov was bowing down, he was not bowing down to Esav, but rather he was bowing down to the Rabbanu Shalom. So what's the problem? If that's the case, so then what do we need that it has to be that Mordechai is misakin the chet by not bowing down to Haman? So the chet is, it's a very small chet, and that because Yaakov bowed down to, or looked like he was bowing down to Esav, his children bowed down to Esav. They thought, they didn't see the Rabbanu Shalom. They saw Yaakov bowing down. They said, if Yaakov, the father, the leader, was bowing down, so they also were going to bow down. So the chet, there had to be the ke'en, well, he was goyrim, his children, to bow down, that's what he had to be in misakin. And the Megala Mukah says the same thing, and it says is v'hu of our lifneichem. He brings a raya to the Zohar from the Pasuk. V'hu of our lifneichem. What's who's v'hu? V'hu is referring to the Rabbanu Shalom. The question is what's going on here? Why is now Yaakov Avinu, he only saw the Rabbanu Shalom, boom, came down over here, and he's down in downtown over here, and until now he didn't see him, and didn't see him after. Funny happenstance that right as Esav is coming and he's scared of Esav, perhaps he's bowing down 7 times. It says in the Gemara in Kedushin and Daf Choftes, there was a mazik in town. Abaye didn't know what to do about the mazik. The great Reb Acha Ben Yaakov came into town. It says that he came, he bowed down. The mazik was a seven-headed serpent. And Reb Acha Ben Yaakov, they asked him to get rid of it. Reb Acha was mispowel. Kol tefila nofal roish ha'echad. He davened seven times. Every time he davened, chopped off one of the heads of the serpent until the serpent had no heads and was gone. The Gemara in Sukkah and Achnun Beis Amid Aleph says there are seven shemos of the Yetzirah. This Nachash embodied the seven shemos of the Yetzirah, and Rabbi Acha Ben Yaakov's seven tefillas, he got rid of the entire Yetzirah. Megala Mukah says it's not by happenstance that the name is of Acha Ben Yaakov, but he says it's Rabbi Acha who is from Bar Yaakov, in the place of Yaakov, referring to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, when he bowed down seven times to the Ribbono Shel Olam in front of Esav, the Rasha, what he was accomplishing is that later, generations later, when this mazik would be in town and Rabbi Acha would come, Rabbi Acha, in the schus of Yaakov Avinu, would daven seven times and get rid of this Yetzihara, this Nachash. Says in the Oye Yosef Chai that Yaakov said, he called Esav, La'adoini le'esav. What does it mean, La'adoini le'esav? It should say, La'adoini Esav, to my master Esav. You don't say, La'adoini le'esav. To my master, to Esav. The second Lama doesn't belong there. Oye Yosef Chai says that even Esav HaRosha, there was something good in him. Every person, even Esav, there was something good. Who was he calling Adoni? That was the little part of Esav that was Toiv. Him he called his master. Then the other question obviously comes is, how could Yaakov, somebody we question how he's bowing down to Esav, but how did he call him my master? So he was calling him my master to the little Toiv that he had. When he called him Esav, that was talking about the Rasha. And the same thing when he says the same Rasha of Achiv Esav, he calls him something like his brother and he calls him Esav. The same thing. When he's calling him Achiv, my brother, he's talking to the Toiv in him. When he says the word Esav, he's talking to the Rosh in him. Yaakov's whole Mahus, his whole being was the Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. That's all Yaakov Avinu wanted. When Yaakov Avinu came to the situation and he bowed down seven times, Yizicha did not have any intentions but to bring Kavod Shemayim. Yes, perhaps he was Goyer Mechet, but we have to know is that even doing the Hashtachava in front of Esav, it was all Kula Lishma. It was all for the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we see that Yaakov Avinu was able to see the good even in Esav. So Yaakov Avinu, all he was able to focus on was the Kedusha in this world. The little Kedusha that Esav had, and perhaps like the Nefer, like it says in the Ruach Chaim, that the little Kedusha that Esav had was because even the Yetzihara, it says, and the Zayah says that even the Yetzihara, when the Yetzirah gets someone to do an Avera, and the person doesn't do that Avera, he wants him to do the Avera, he doesn't do the Avera, the Yetzirah is happy. The Yetzirah is the Bria from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the Yetzirah. Why did he create the Yetzirah? So people should have Nisyonis. If they pass the Nisyonis, they get Schar. Otherwise, if you never have Nisyonis, you can't accomplish anything. So the Yetzirah is integral for us to get Schar. Through the Yetzirah, there could be Kedusha in the world. So Esav, if he became Taka Rosh on his own, but the fact that he might have done certain things to Yaakov when Yaakov is not doing the right thing, and he created the Shainis, that part of him was Taka Kedusha. And the Ruach Chaim says that's why the head of Esav was buried in Maros HaMachpelah. The head represented that Kedusha of Esav. The rest of his goof didn't get buried there because in Liza he was a Rosh. Have a good Shabbos.